It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
It's time a couple minutes late.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Jorge Army and fellow music fans, I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany, and we're the hosts of Standing BTS from the Consequence Podcast Network. We're a bi-weekly show that covers the impact and legacy of K-pop group BTS.
We mix the perfect blend of research and fangirl as we take a deep dive into lyrics during album reviews, theorize over music videos, and keep up with their current events.
No BTS topic is off limits. We welcome everyone into the conversation, whether you're a casual fan, committed ARMY, or someone who's just curious about one of the biggest music groups in the world.
Come chat with us every other Thursday with a new episode wherever podcasts are found.
Welcome to the In Defense of Ska podcast.
There's a lot of like, okay, well, you like ska, name three bands that aren't the Boss Tones.
I'm your host, Aaron Carnes, music journalist and author of the book In Defense of Ska.
And I'm your co-host, Adam Davis, veteran ska musician from the bands Omnigon and Link 80.
On our show, we aim to push back on the mainstream's negative perception of ska music.
There are so many great untold stories throughout the history of ska. The show features interviews with everyone from the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones to Fishbone, Fall Out Boy singer Patrick Stump, and the Police drummer Stuart Copeland. Join us on In Defense of Ska from the Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence, and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thanks, as always, for making your way here, checking out the series. Please do hit that subscribe button. I put out three new interviews every single week, new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So it's a great way to keep up with your favorite artists and discover some new ones. All the usual spots: iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podchaser, NPR, WFPK.org, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcasts from. I'm Kyle Meredith. Today, my guest, Scott Hoying. I'm going to be talking to the Pentatonix's co-founder about his debut solo single, Mars, and the upcoming songs that will come after that. We're going to discuss finding his musical identity as a solo artist, overcoming the insecurities of growing up queer, and taking some inspiration from Hugh Jackman in The Greatest Showman. Scott's also going to tell us why supporting the Wolf Conservation Center is so important to him, the game plan for more new music, and Pentatonix being nominated for 2021's Evergreen in the upcoming Grammys. So let's do it. We're talking Mars and more. It's Kyle Meredith with Scott Hoying.
Hi, how's it going?
Congratulations. You've, a lot of people know you, of course, from Pentatonix. You had done some solo stuff way, way, way back in the day, but this is sort of the, what do you call this? Is this like the official relaunch? Is this the real deal this time?
I think this is the real deal this time. I mean, way back in the day, like high school, when I was like really living my pop star fantasy in high school. But this is like the first time since being in Pentatonix that I've really like put out a solo thing, been vulnerable, really gone for it. So it's been amazing in so many ways.
So why now? I mean, that's probably the obvious question, right?
Ooh, well, you know, it's something I've always wanted to do, but for multiple reasons didn't. Like fear. It's very vulnerable. I'm so used to being on stage and making music with my friends. And so doing something alone was something that always kind of scared me. But I feel like I've done a lot of like growing up and self-work. And now I just like am making it authentically, and it just was the right time.
So what does that mean then? I mean, as we know, Pentatonix and what that is, you know, it's a lot of covers, obviously a cappella. Do you have to find your musical identity all over again when doing this, the solo work?
Yeah, I would say so. I think like there's so many different genres of music that I love to do. And in Pentatonix, you know, we'll do like a country song and then do it like a pop song the next day. And so finding what instruments, what sound, what story I wanted to tell was kind of part of the whole process. But what I've been doing is like writing a song every single day. In the pandemic, we had to record remotely, so I just got efficient with Pro Tools, which actually opened up a whole world of just possibilities for me. And so I started writing every day and just let it kind of naturally find its path. And I found that I love epic songwriting. I still love like doing choral harmony stuff, orchestral, but also pop, kind of a Coldplay energy to it.
So epic song, and we hear that in this first single, Mars. Why?
That's a good question. I think I don't know. It's the dramatic gay in me. I just love emotional music. I think that is something I've always loved, and we do in pentatonics a lot with Hallelujah and Mary Jane, all these songs. I love it to feel powerful. I think it's almost my love for the theatrics, like theater, musical theater. I just want it to build and have a climax and be big. And I think that, like, when you hear a choir come in or you hear timpanis, it's just like so chilling to the soul. And so I feel like since this was my first solo thing, I really wanted to go big with it.
Did you do musical theater growing up?
I did it growing up. Yeah. I did like a lot of like little community theater plays when I was young. And then I did one musical in high school, but then I hadn't really done any musical theater since, but it's always been in my heart.
Well, I'm getting ahead of myself here, but you have the musicians, right, who have similar loves, and they're like, I'm going to try out Broadway. I'm going to do it a little bit, you know, like, is that on your dance card in the future? Could you see yourself doing that?
Oh my gosh. Yes, for sure. I've always wanted to do like be a guest in a show, but actually the reason I'm in New York right now is because I wrote a musical over the pandemic with my friends, Joey Orton, Brad Pulitzer, and Petro. And like, we chipped away at this musical called Life of Death, and we just finished it. And I was in New York doing like a real reading of it, like union rules reading, like real actors. And it was so cool to see it come to life. I just love the creation of Broadway. I like that there's no rules in Broadway in terms of the creative, and it was amazing.
Well, I'll use that word to echo you with amazing with this first single with Mars. It is epic. It is so good. Let's start there. Where did this one come from?
So this one came from just like writing a song a day for the last probably a year. And this song is a story just kind of representative of my story in my mid 20s, going into kind of like a crisis and like feeling lonely and just like going through a tough time, but then meeting the love of my life, Mark Manio, that I'm marrying later this year. And just through the subtleties and the nuances of how much he supported me and loved me and our dynamic. And I just kind of like came back around, and now I feel like I'm at my best version of myself and loving life so much. And so Mars is kind of about that. And yeah, it's a love story.
But it is sort of interesting, like to reach that love, and I think I'm hearing it in two or three different ways, but to go so far away, to either you're being pushed there or to get there. Like, could you talk a little bit about that part of it? Because, you know, it isn't just like, hey, let's run away to a different town. It's like, let's get the hell out of this planet.
Yeah. I think, you know, I don't know if it was growing up queer or just being like a little bit awkward of a person. I just developed insecurities over the years, and I always desperately tried my best to fit in and be suave and like, and try to be cool and nice and not awkward and don't say anything that's gonna like make the room just be like, what's up with this dude? And so I worked so hard at that it consumed me, and it only made me sadder trying to do that. But then with Mark, I feel like I can be my quirky self and be my authentic self, and he accepts it so unconditionally. And it made me kind of fall in love with the quirks that I have. And ironically, the more I embrace those and just like, I feel like my truest self in any room now, I've noticed that I fit in more because I'm not trying to be something I'm not. And so I think it's just basically saying, let's embrace who we are. Let's run away to Mars. Let's be Martians, and we don't have to be humans type of thing.
Well, I mean, and for everything you said, you know, arriving to this point, and you've even said it probably in other interviews where you said, you know, this song being a symbol of all the self work that you've done over the years, which I think you're talking about. Did anything put that part in motion? And I don't know, was that just kind of like, it's time to do that as well? I mean, was there like that dividing line? It's like, I've got to look inward.
Yeah, I really think it was the pandemic, because just not being on tour and not being busy all of a sudden, I didn't have my emotions to run from and the things I needed to work on. And so I had to kind of like sit with myself and those insecurities. And then also, I will say that something that helped me tremendously was Pentatonix had to record remotely when we were in the pandemic. And so it forced me to sit down. I literally, for my job, had to learn how to use Pro Tools. And once I got past the tedium of the initial use of it, I became obsessed, like really obsessed. And like, I feel like I don't have a lot of discipline unless I'm obsessed with something. And so I just like watched every YouTube tutorial and spent hours and hours learning it. And now I'm like really proficient at it. And because of that, I'm able to have an idea for a song or a musical or anything and have a demo for it hours later. And that like reduced time and cost made me just create all the time, which in turn like gave me a ton of self-esteem, made me a better musician, a better band member, made me able to do solo stuff. And I just think that that was a really, really big factor in that.
And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Scott Hoying. And there's a beautiful music video that goes along with it too.
Thank you.
Just incredible, which I think I saw that you co-directed. Among many other things. Where was this shot?
It was shot in Joshua Tree. And it was actually, you know, the like budget for it was really small. And so I just got a skeleton crew of my friends, like my best friends, Lindsay and Craig. And then I had just met them on the shoot, but now we're close. This guy named Nima. And we just got an Airbnb in Joshua Tree and went out there with a camera, a few lights, and like four people on the crew. And a lot of it we came up with in the moment. Like we had the storyline and I had written a treatment, but like we were just like playing and it was the way it turned out, I was just so in love with it. It's my favorite video I've ever been a part of. And I think it's because it was just like not 92 crew and like having to communicate through multiple channels. It was just like all of us there carrying a piano up a mountain ourselves. And I think anytime anything has that energy, it just turns out more special. And I'm just really happy with how it came out.
And with the water side of the video, how long did you spend in the water for this video?
I would say like an hour.
That's it?
Yeah, it was just an hour. So that was like a last second addition. Nima knew someone who did underwater filming. And so she drove out to Joshua Tree and we just did some, we just kept going underwater. I didn't realize how bad my breath support was until that. And then Mark wasn't even going to do the water thing, but I talked him into it. He just dove in the water. And it was super cool.
That's much better because you hear those horror stories about, you know, spending 12-hour shoots in the water and just how horrible that becomes.
For like Avatar or something.
Yeah. Yeah. Avatar, Titanic, like all those. Yeah. Like,
yeah. I don't know how 7 minutes holding your breath. I could 30 seconds and I was like, break.
And I should say, you know, in the credits and everything, you do mention your fiance as Hot Perfect Fiance.
Yes, that is those are the two of many adjectives that describe.
How's the I'm not trying to get you personal. How's the wedding planning going?
It's going great. We're being, you know, it's funny, we told like our wedding planner, we're like, we're so chill, like just literally you can make decisions for us, like we're so easygoing. And then like a month later we're still like, no, not to that venue, not that venue, only because we like want it to be the perfect venue. We haven't even got past the venue part, but we're really close about to pick the venue, and we have like all these design ideas and we're moving forward and we're excited.
Own creative muscle in itself right there.
It really is. And it's such a big day and we want it to be perfect. And yeah, it's going to be beautiful.
Well, and I don't want to pass over you. There are two videos for this too. Speaking of beautiful, because that live video, oh man, like the song's great, Scott, but that performance and that live video is otherworldly. And I mean that.
Thank you. Thank you. I really, really appreciate that. I really wanted to do a video like that because it actually, the idea came from watching a behind the scenes video of The Greatest Showman. And it was like Hugh Jackman in a rehearsal room with all these amazing singers singing the final song from Greatest Showman. And they're just belting and it's so loud. And I remember thinking I would pay like absorbent amount of money to just be in the middle of that room, just soaking up that energy. And so I wanted to recreate that. And so it was also kismet because the singers, a lot of them were from SoCal Vocals, which is like the first a cappella group that got me into a cappella. Yeah. And I just wanted to sing and it to be an intimate moment, one take shot, and us just belt and create some like electricity.
Well, it also seems like that's the meeting points of Pentatonix and what you're doing now in a performance like that. Like when you're thinking about how you're going to do these live, you know, whether you're taking it out on tour later on or what, like, is it going to be sort of a natural thing for you to incorporate some of those tricks?
I think so. I have such a deep passion for choral music, choir, harmony. Mm-hmm. I think it adds so much emotion to music. And, you know, at first when I was doing the solo stuff, I was like, wait, if I add harmony and choir stuff, it's going to be too similar to pentatonics. But then I decided not to like overthink it. And it's something that I love to do. I also love to build choirs and arrange so much. It's like one of my biggest passions. And so I think that if we did a tour, I mean, it cannot be cheap with driving around 8 tour buses with a choir. But having singers there would be amazing.
And I mentioned the credits a minute ago. Could you tell me about the Wolf Conservation Center and why was an important part of the credits for these music videos?
Yes, I would love to. So I'm friends with this amazing woman named Martha Handler, and she runs the Wolf Conservation Center. And they work so hard to preserve species of wolves that are like about to go extinct. And it's in New York. It's this incredible, unbelievable organization. And also these like wolves are so crucial to the environment that like they're in turn saving the earth as well. And so it felt like a perfect fit, just like creatively with Mars. We're all going to have to literally move to Mars if we don't protect our earth. And also it was cool to be able to promote such an amazing organization. And then they also, you know, helped make that video happen. So I love it so much.
Yeah, I love hearing that. It was interesting seeing that on there too. So what is the game plan from here? I mean, we've got Mars. There's going to be more singles. You're writing a song a day, or you had been anyway. So I mean, is this just, is the plan to kind of do the sprinkle amounts? Are you leading up to an album? What's the deal?
Yeah, you know, we're still figuring that out, but I'm definitely going to release a lot more music this year, hopefully pretty soon. And it's, I mean, maybe it's an EP, an album. I kind of want to just put out songs all the time. I just like always have songs that I'm writing that I'm excited about. But I do, I always, you know, I love the having a piece of work that has like a cohesion to it. And so that'll probably happen soon.
Well, and those cohesions, those pieces of work anyway, congratulations on the Grammy nod for, it's Evergreen, right?
Evergreen. Yeah. Thank you.
Only a little confusing because do I get it right? Like Evergreen technically came out in 2021, and then there's been another album since then, but that's the one that's being in 2023.
Yeah, it gets complicated when you release a Christmas album every single year. But Evergreen was, so the Grammys are for like stuff that came out in 2021, this upcoming Grammys. And it was like our first album and first thing we had worked on post-pandemic. So we hadn't been together, and then we'd be like locked out of studio for a month. And went in every day. And it was like our favorite album by far of our 16 albums or something that we've ever made. And so to see it get that nod from the Grammys is, it's really cool.
I should look this up. Have you all ever won a Grammy? Have you not been nominated before?
Yeah. So Pentatonix has won 3 Grammys, 2 arrangement Grammys. And then we won a country duo performance with Dolly Parton because we did a cover of Jolene with her. And, but this is the first Grammy nomination that's been for a whole album. It's for a traditional vocal album, but we're nominated against the coolest people: Diana Ross, Kelly Clarkson, Michael Bublé, Norah Jones. So it's a stacked category.
Are you going? Are you guys gonna go?
Oh yeah, because you're allowed to go and walk the carpet and do the whole thing if you're nominated. So we're like, we're going. We're getting dressed up.
Any favorite Grammy stories that I was talking to another artist the other day, and she had been and decided to dress all in black and kept being mistaken for waitstaff the entire time she was there. And I thought, you finally make it to the Grammys and everybody thinks you're a waiter.
Hi, more champagne, please, when you go there. yeah, that's amazing. That's happened to me before, actually, too, because I love wearing black.
Apparently, you're not supposed to wear black to the Grammys. I don't know. Let's see. Beyond that, I see that you guys at Pentatonix is still busy. It's not like you're putting that on hold, going to Japan and Singapore in March. So is this actually feel like double duty for you at this point?
In a way, but I really love to work. Like I don't see it as work. Like for fun, my way of relaxing at the end of the night is to like arrange or write, or just like, it's kind of like a coloring book. It's very meditative for me. And so I feel like if I have Pentatonix stuff going on, like on tour, there's a lot of free time. That's when I would also work on solo stuff. So it doesn't feel too overwhelming, but there are those moments where I'm like, whoa. I kind of bit off more than I can chew, huh? But most of the time it's okay.
Well, I certainly love what I've heard so far with Mars, and I can't wait to hear the rest of it. Seriously, you've set it up. You've set the bar high already, for better and worse. Thanks. I'm sure.
So
congratulations.
Thank you so much.
And my thanks, Scott Hoying. The debut solo single is called Mars. Thanks to you as well for checking out the episode. Again, before you get out of here, I do hope you hit that subscribe button so you can keep up with all the interviews that we put out. New and every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. 3 interviews a week delivered straight to you at iTunes and Apple Podcasts, at Spotify and Podchaser, NPR, WFPK.org, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcasts from. After that, after you subscribe, head over to WFPK.org. That's where I do a show Monday through Friday, starting at 6 p.m. Eastern. Song premieres, music news, anniversary spins, and bonus interviews. Again, that's Monday through Friday, starting at 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. You can also find me on the old social media spots, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all 3 of them. The address is at Kyle Meredith. So I do hope you like and follow along. That does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
This is so cool. This is my first press day ever. It's just me.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.